Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 18th episode of Interlude Army. Today we'll be talking about BTS's new single, Stay Gold, their upcoming picture books, and more. We also interviewed UCLA Bruin marching band director Kevin McCown and one of the tenor drummers, Emma Atkins, who participated in BTS's song called On. Let's get it!
Welcome to Interlude Army. I'm Roseanne.
And I'm Jose.
Time to announce the winners of both the BTS Fifth Muster Magic Shop DVD and the four books, Map of the Soul 7, Persona, Shadow, and Ego. The winner for BTS's Fifth Muster Magic Shop is... drumroll, Jose. Anna.gums96. Woo!
Yay!
Congratulations!
And the premium winner for all four Map of the Soul books is... drumroll please, Roseanne.
Brit, 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 brit.
What is... is that a cricket? Yeah. Okay, Madhavi Sutar 95.
Woo! Yay!
Congratulations to our winners. For the winners, please email us at interludearmygiveaway@gmail.com with the item you won in the subject line. For example, BTS's Fifth Muster winner or Map of the Soul book winner.
Yeah, so thank you once again for everyone who participated in this giveaway, but hold up, we got more. I know Jose was like, what? We got more? I know, we got so much in store for you guys. I'm super excited. Yeah. But today we're doing two giveaways again. For our followers, we are giving away BTS's Japanese Face Yourself album to two lucky winners. To enter, follow Interlude Army on Himalaya, screenshot the follow, and write the word journey on the screenshot. Then send it to interludearmygiveaway@gmail.com with the subject line saying Face Yourself Giveaway.
For our premium giveaway, we'll be giving away BTS's Map of the Soul 7 jigsaw puzzle. Yeah! Yes, that's that blue box in Weverse, if you guys don't know what we're talking about. So to enter, follow Interlude Army on Himalaya and become a premium member. Screenshot your premium membership, then send it to interludearmygiveaway@gmail.com with the subject line saying BTS Puzzle Giveaway. You could use the promo code capital H lowercase I dash lowercase M capital P lowercase X and lowercase N. So that is HI-MPPXN for a free month of premium access.
And for this week's army term, Lynn will be explaining borahe.
My word is borahe and the definition. On November 13th, 2016, during the third muster event, Tae gave a heartfelt ending speech. Do you know what purple means? Purple means, I will trust and love you for a long time. This was something he made up. He wished he could see Army for a long time, just like his meaning of purple. He said, we'll always trust you and go up the stairs with you. You don't need to help us all the time. You can hold our hands and follow us now. We'll go up really high. He went on to explain again another time that the rainbow has 7 letters in English and 7 colors because BTS has 7 members. He will love ARMY to the end since the color purple is the last color of the rainbow. Bora, which means purple, and Hey, meaning to do something. But Taeyeon explained that he mixed Bora, purple, and Saranghae, I love you, and it became Borahae, I purple you. The color purple soon became worldwide spread as the color of the fandom and BTS and ARMY's love for one another.
Yeah, so thank you so much for explaining Borahae to us, Lynn. We know how much that phrase means to us, ARMY.
Oh, yes.
We can't wait to hear the other ARMY terms that our premium members will explain next.
So, Jose, you already know what I'm going to ask you. Ooh, just kidding.
Serenade so, Rosie.
How are you doing?
You. Okay, that was
cool. Oh, no, that was actually good. Jose, what are you talking about?
No, that don't even. You don't need to lie. You do not need to lie.
This became like a vocal session right now.
Other than my non-existent vocals, I am doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. Just been busy with like school. Just finished an essay actually before we started recording this. I had to turn in our first essay for my summer class. Everything's going well. Family's good. Boyfriend's good. Everybody's good, thankfully.
We're all thankful. We're all healthy, I hope.
Yeah, we're all good. We're all here. So, I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for. But what about you, Roseanne? How are you? How was your week?
I actually could say there was an event.
Oh, okay. Let us know.
Yeah. I mean, you know how, like, Vegas is also slowly opening up. Mm-hmm. But we were able to get together with our... basically, they're, like, our family here in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Because me and my boyfriend's family all live in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this family basically adopted us. But anyways, we all went out. I think 8 of us went out to go play paintball. And this was my first time playing paintball. Fun. Got some shots in, survived some. I only got hit once by a paintball, like directly on my skin.
Ooh.
And let me tell you, paintball is really fun, but when you get hit, expect to get like bruises.
Yeah.
I got a big bruise.
You're like, paintball is fun, except for when you get hit.
Yeah, except when you get... Good thing when you get hit once, you're basically out. Like, if they tap you with a... You're out and you have to wait till the round is over so you don't get shot like too many times. But I do suggest people who haven't played paintball, like, don't be afraid that when people say, oh my God, it's going to hurt. Like, when you're in that moment, you just get so hyped up and it's just, it's really fun. So
the adrenaline, huh?
Like, adrenaline. And the bruises are just whatever, you know, got battle scars. You're like, yeah.
Pain is temporary. That's
okay. There you go.
Oh, by the way, I totally forgot. It was Father's Day. I didn't even mention that, like, we actually celebrated... my dad actually this past weekend. Sorry, shit. Dad, I didn't mean to. Not that I forgot about you. I just I'm all thinking about what did I do. Wait, I actually celebrated.
That's
my dad.
Cute. What'd you guys do?
Just home.
Oh, that's well, we just, you know.
Like, yeah. Made some carne asada, and then we just celebrated. Gave him some presents. I gave him. Me and my boyfriend bought him like a foot massage machine thingy. And, like, it's pretty nice because it's not just the massager. Like, it actually has, like, heat. Like, it's supposed to make it hot. Or I don't know how it is because we didn't try it out. But it had, like, really, really good reviews. So we were like, let's get him this. So whenever he comes back from work or when he's, like, out working out because he works out and whatever, when he's tired, he can just, once he showers and everything, he can relax.
Oh, that's nice. Massage his face. That's really nice. Like, I feel like it's weird because there's so much that usually happens for the week of BTS, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I think this time around, it was more of like a lot of upcoming content and product like news. So,
but I mean, if we want to keep it real, we got more V lives and streams, and like that's never gonna stop, I think.
And Run started again. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's another content to look forward to. But so this week though, the song or the single Stay Gold was released. And we were ready. We put on our clown masks, Jose. We thought there was a music video that was gonna come out. I was like,
if you guys remember last episode?
Yeah, it was last episode.
Last week's episode, yeah. That we were like, oh, we're betting. We both think it's going to be the song and the music video that's going to drop. But like Roseanne said, we have our clown masks because that did not.
But what did you think? Okay, we're going to start with a song. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Stay Gold?
I it's up the show.
Oh, he lost his words. Jose lost his word.
What the hell just happened? Okay, that just means I'm excited, but I couldn't come up with words. My brain works faster than my mouth. Okay, woo. I love it, but what I was trying to say is that like I felt like it was very different from their past Japanese releases. It has a different vibe to it. I can totally tell that it's meant for a drama because it's supposed to be the theme song for that Japanese drama that had to get postponed. Mm-hmm. And for sure it's still going to be, but because Big Hit has to do what they got to do, they're probably like, we still have to move forward with our plans to release our Japanese stuff, you know, even though that drama was postponed. We only had the chorus that was teased to us, like 5 to 10 seconds of it that we only knew. We didn't know how the rest of the song was going to sound. So it was, even though I expected the chorus to sound a certain way, the rest of it was very unexpected. Like, I did not think there was going to be an extended part to the chorus, like, Stay Gold. Like, they repeat Stay Gold, but in a very cheery way. I can't sing, guys, so that's why I'm not going to even try to sing it. But right after, like, I guess the main part of the chorus, which is what was teased to us with Stay Gold, na 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 na, there's another part where they add to that that is still part of the chorus. Is Stay Gold, Stay Gold, Stay Gold, Stay Gold. Like that, I was like, oh my god, that's so unexpected. I thought it was just going to move on to the next verse or the next or the bridge or whatever. I didn't think it was going to keep going. And then the Jisook harmonization at the end, Jimin's high notes towards the end, Jin's I'll steal your heart, V's they just had so many parts, and I just, you know, I could speak all day about it. I really liked it. What about you, Roseanne?
Stay Gold right away when it started. I think maybe some people could relate to this too. When the ting, 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 ting comes in, it kind of reminds you of like, was it For You, right? Mm-hmm. Just the ting, ting, ting. But the chorus itself, like Jose mentioned, I don't think there was a Japanese song that I could connect to or that reminds me of. I mean, the whole time I was head bopping. Oh, yeah, you guys could watch our reactions to this song on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just in case you haven't seen it yet. But I was just like head bopping the whole time. It was that kind of song where I felt like it was so uplifting. And like the lyrics, so after I read it, I was like, ooh, what is this? It's so intimate.
But, I don't know if you remember the very first time that we spoke about Stay Gold, like theorizing what it could be about. I think we both said something similar of like, it's basic. I think they're going to be telling us like, stay the way you are. Like, are gold. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty much like complimenting. I feel like it's a complimenting song. And it kind of, actually, it is kind of that. Like, once I listened to the lyrics, like you said, you know. But other than the song, we actually got a performance. They performed on CDTV Live, I believe that's the name of the show in Japan. And did you get a chance to watch the performance, Rosa?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh my god, what did you think? Because I mean, just the set alone, when I saw the teaser photo for that, I was like, what is this about to be?
The set itself was like, it's like simple but very elegant and beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like you could focus on the boys, and then just had like that beautiful like a tree, I guess, in the back. And the performance itself, not gonna lie, like, I actually prefer this live audio over the official recorded audio. And I think it's because of how raw their voices were. And I honestly, like, I loved their live vocal performance and how clear their voices were during this performance. I wish they had, like, this live audio on Spotify or something, but I guess we shall, we'll see. But you, how about you, Jose?
Same. I remember watching it and I reacted to it, actually. I remember saying, like, they ate the CD because, girl, when I tell you there was no backing track to that performance. Yeah, the music is the only thing that's like the backup because, I mean, it's the music of the song. But as far as the vocals, it's all them. Yeah. They're just letting us know they can do this without the backing track in case anybody had any doubts. But like you said, it was very, the set, clean and simple. But it's like impactful. Like when I saw the teaser photo of the performance, them just sitting in the tree and it's like all white. I think in the back there's like windows or maybe they're lights to make it look like it's windows or open or something. I mean, the people that like the engineers and the set designers and all that, we got to give it up to them because it just adds to the performance, you know.
It's
just
their outfits like matched too because they were like wearing white, but they had some like designs on their undershirts. But they also mentioned that we will be getting more performances, probably in the same set, but like different songs, right?
I think it's for the same show.
Makes sense.
They performed it for. I think I'm sorry if I'm mistaken on that, but it is for Japanese television. They're gonna be performing Your Eyes Tell, which is another original Japanese song for the new album. And Your Eyes Tell, Jungkook took part in the composition of the song, so that's exciting too.
Other than the Japanese album that we know that they were working on, we know that they're working on their Korean album, which they mentioned a little bit during Jimin and Jungkook's live.
Which I missed.
I don't know. I was like literally brushing my teeth when they started the stream, and I was like, oh my gosh, they keep streaming when we're like going to bed. But that's because, you know, time zone, time difference, so it's okay. But in this session, they were making kimbap, which is Korean seaweed rice roll. And they were trying to host like a mukbang, which is eating live.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is cute. I love how they're finding like little activities to stream to make it like interesting. And I think they were streaming from home, Jose. I mean, it came off. Yeah, like they were in their kitchen because I think Jimin was asking, oh, we don't have a spatula at home. And then when V called during their V Live, because he said he was bored, because I guess he was in the studio, like trying to work on his music.
Yeah.
And so he called. So I'm like, huh, I wonder if they were at home. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, like you guys, I told y'all I missed it, unfortunately. So I'm actually getting caught up here with Roseanne as well. I mean, I did see a couple clips and you know how ARMY is. We create memes out of everything. And yeah, there was there was a meme created from Jimin's moment with the closed bottle while playing the song from the movie Gladiator. So what was that, Roseanne? Because I didn't see that actual meme. I saw one where he's like cooking something with the pan and he's like shaking or something like that. And I just thought it was funny. Like there's no like music or anything like that. He's just shaking the pan or something. And I just thought that was like funny. I don't even know if it's a meme, but it's like a clip that I saw.
There's so many. It's because Jimin was like trying to like act with the music because the music was so like exaggerated. And so like he was trying to make things so epic, and I think a lot of like I saw a lot of screenshots of like Jimin's face because he was making funny faces on there. So it was cute. The interactions was really cute. And then you see, of course, Jungkook like trying to help out Mick and then eating
at the
you know, Jungkook loves his food. But while they were streaming, they did mention like the progress of the upcoming Korean album. Jungkook said that he made 4 songs for the new album.
So far.
So he's probably like trying to make more and trying to submit more. So can't wait. And Jimin said that he made 3 songs and also submitted that to the company. And right now, so they're kind of like in that the process where they submit, and then the producers will let them know if it's it will fit the album, and then work on from there. So I wonder which songs will make it through.
That's so crazy to think, because right there, just by what Jungkook and Jimin let us know, that's 7 songs already.
Yeah.
So to think that, like, obviously it's happened before with other companies as well, where it's like, well, we might take one of those songs. Mm-hmm. So it's like crazy to see, like, will we ever hear the ones that weren't accepted for the album? Right. Maybe it'll come out in another future album, or maybe a mixtape, or maybe they'll release as solo songs. Who knows? But it's just so cool to, like, learn about the process, you know? They're letting us know as they're working on this, like, hey, we just submitted this for the company. And I don't think in the past we've known it while it's happening.
Oh, yeah, true. You know?
So it's pretty cool. But not only was it a stream for Jimin and Jungkook, but we also got it might not be V-Live, but it was a stream on YouTube. We got another Jimin solo stream on YouTube where he talked also more about the process of the upcoming Korean album. He mentioned how the songs by the members were gathered and submitted to the company, and also in-house producers have also been making good songs for the album, because we also have to think about, like, it's not only the guys that are working on the music, they also have their producers that are working on it. So it'd be interesting to know if maybe when he said the in-house producers, maybe they're working on the ones that they submitted, you know, like the members submitted. Yeah. Or if it's gonna be, you know, some members' songs and then some that are completely produced
by the producers.
From the producers, yeah.
But while we're, like, waiting for all this to come through and hear more updates, we got updates on new merch, Jose.
I don't know if you guys watched the company briefing that Big Hit had a while back. They started, you know, letting us know of things that they had planned with, like, new groups, new merchandise, tours. But, I mean, tours that unfortunately had to be postponed. But one of the things that was mentioned was graphic lyrics. And that's all they told us, you know, like, it's going to be a graphic lyrics. Obviously, the title itself, you're already thinking, okay, so it has to do with songs. It's going to be maybe a lyric book or something like that. Well, we finally know what it's going to look like, or what they're going to look like, because it's more than one. Well, we don't know what it's going to look like inside, but as far as the cover goes, we do. So you guys, the Big Hit merchandise account on Twitter tweeted out the announcement for the graphic lyric books for BTS. And the lyrics are for the HYYH era, which is the Beautiful Moment in Life era. And there are 5 volumes.
Volume number 1 is a supplementary story, You Never Walk Alone. Volume number 2 is Save Me. Volume number 3 is House of Cards. Volume number 4 is Run. And volume number 5 is Butterfly. I'm excited to see how they're going to, like, I know we know it's probably going to be lyrics of their song.
Right.
So it's interesting, though, because then the art, after watching the teaser, it seemed like the art that they're incorporating should match the lyrics, but also, like, that theme of that particular song.
And by the time you guys are listening to this, the books are on sale on Weverse.
That's right.
But one thing for U.S. Army, because we are in the U.S., we always want to see, like, hey, what about U.S.? Yeah. They also are going to be available on Amazon. So if you guys don't want to order from Weverse and want to see on Amazon, they are going to be available on Amazon. I strongly encourage you guys to follow, if you have Twitter, by the way. Actually, you don't even have to have Twitter. You can just input this in Google and you can still have access to the Twitter account. But it's @BigHit_merch. @BigHit_merch. That is the official merchandise account for Big Hit. And you'll see everything that they are selling. And looking at the pictures that they've released, it looks like it's going to be all in one. Like, you guys don't have to purchase each book individually. It'll come all in one package, like one box.
It looks like a really cool set. So, a really cool collectible. And probably, you know, for those who also want their children to read. Actually, I wonder if it's going to be in English. I just thought of it now. Like, they might have, like, an English and then also a Korean, Japanese. I don't know, because they did that with notes. Regardless, I think if you're just, like, collecting any merch, I think this would be beautiful merch to, like, collect and put on your shelf. But we also got another announcement. And I've been looking forward to this whole day because, you know, we love our theories. We love the storyline, the whole Bangtan universe. They finally gave us updates on the TV drama that they've mentioned in their past briefing. Actually, the only thing that I'm not sure if they confirmed or not was, like, if it was a movie or a drama with, like, multiple episodes. I don't know if that was confirmed. But the title of this drama is going to be called Blue Sky. They're going to start filming this in September. So I was kind of hoping that we would get this before the end of the year, but maybe COVID pushed it back a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to be about BTS's universe. So it is a fictional story, but remember that in Bangtan universe, the characters also have the same names as the members.
Yeah.
So don't get confused, because I know, Jose, when I make my, like, timeline videos, people are like, oh my God, this didn't happen to the boys. I'm like, no, it's a fictional story. Don't worry.
Yeah, and we have to make that clear, by the way, for the drama, they aren't going to be using the boys' name so that there aren't any confusion like that. But the story does reflect that of the Bangtan universe. So if you see similarities to the music videos, highlight reels that they've released, it's because it is a inspiration or based on that story or that universe. But they're not going to be using the members' names or the members either. They're not going to be in the drama. That's still exciting, though, because it's like a whole drama based on the Bangtan universe. Sign me up.
Right. Like, we have so many holes to fill. We're like 7 years into this and we're still, like, missing a lot of puzzle pieces to the storyline. So, I mean, I hope this will reveal more. Supposedly, this drama is going to be taking place where the boys met in high school. And I'm sure it's going to show, like, flashbacks of their past when they were young, because a lot of them went through trauma when they were younger.
Yeah.
And so we'll figure out more about that.
Yeah. I also read that they're going to be hiring the actors that are going to play the guys. They're going to be, like, rookie actors. They're not going to be any, like, established actors, you know, like, yeah, that's what I read.
Letting the rookies shine.
Yeah, I mean, it only makes it reflects BTS's story, you know, as well, like, in the universe, that, like, they were rookies at one point as well. They didn't know each other. It's like kind of reflecting it in that way as well. I also read that it might be on Netflix once it comes out, but we don't know that. We can't confirm that 100%, guys.
But other than the TV drama and the books that they're about to drop, another product was released. It's by now, when you're listening to this, it's already been out for, I don't know, like a week. The Samsung S20 BTS edition. Whoa. Low key, this has been my dream, Jose, because I've been a Samsung user for a while.
I know. I've been excited for you because I know you've been a Samsung user for, like, ever.
We were chatting with each other, right? When the phone was finally available for reservation. The phone went available in the US like midnight, but Eastern time, because because I'm in PST time, it was still 10. The Galaxy 20 5G with the buds, the whole BTS edition, apparently sold out in like 56 minutes on Weverse.
It did in Korea. Because when I first saw it on Weverse, I was like, oh, so it's going to be for everybody. But then when I saw that the shipping wasn't available in my... like, you know how it tells you your address or your country is not available for this item or whatever? I was like, okay, so it's only for South Korea. But then when I saw that in under an hour, it sold... like, we shouldn't even be surprised, but I kind of was. Yeah. Because I was like, this is a whole phone. Like, this is not an album. This is not a t-shirt. This is a phone.
Yeah, and this phone, I think US dollars, depending if you get the whole package or whatever, it could get up to like $1,500.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, people are dropping their money. I know we always joke about like how armies say, oh my God, we're broke. And then as soon as something drops, boom, the money just appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're broke. And then like something goes on somewhere like, oh, I live in a mansion. I drive a Lamborghini. My bank account is full. I got that black Amex card.
Oh my God. Oh, I wish. Goals. Oh
no, we can't go that far. We're struggling still. We've taken out credits and credit cards and...
Not gonna lie, yeah, I dropped a credit card for this one.
Yeah, so guys, we actually, Rosanna and I got it too. You know what? Because I thought about it and I was like, I was a Android user for the majority of my life. The only time I moved to iPhone was because my wireless company was telling me that it was like the best. I fell for it. I got the iPhone. I can't complain though. Like it is a good phone and I've had it for years now. So it's not like I hate it or anything like that. But once I saw that this phone was also going to be available for the US, I was like, you know what? It's been a while since I got a new phone. It's a BTS phone. I have a credit card. I can pay it in payments, and my birthday is in July, and that's when the phone will come out. You know what? I'm gonna gift it to myself for my birthday, even if it gets me in debt.
Treat yourself, even though you're in debt.
Treat yourself. No, actually, I don't treat myself, guys. I really don't. Like, I don't buy just... I don't remember the last time that I even bought clothes. I mean, that sounds horrible. I wash my clothes, guys. I wash my clothes, but it's just I hate shopping. I don't go. I love shopping for others. I don't shop for myself. So once this was announced and everything, I was like, I can actually get it. I was like, you know what? Let me go back to that Galaxy life, that Android life, and then so I reserved mine. And like Roseanne, we're waiting for it coming in July.
And it's understandable because, like you said, this is a special BTS edition. I have friends like that come up to me and ask me, should I get this phone? And trust me when I say I love the Samsung. They have really good quality like cameras. Mm-hmm. Both the iPhone and Samsung is good. It's just preference. You know what I mean?
So, no, girl, you can say it. Samsung has the best cameras on their phone.
Yes, they do.
And I know from experience because I've had both. I had a Galaxy 4. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was the last Android I think I had. And I loved that phone. But like I told you, I just fell for the whole iPhone.
Just saying, Samsung usually gets the stuff before the iPhones do. I'm just... I saw like...
Yeah, it's facts, girl. You are not lying. It's facts. Something that iPhone comes out, the Samsung already
has. Yeah, it already has for like the last 2 years. So welcome to the family. If you transition, you won't regret it. Especially if you are an army, this phone is perfect for you. And we're not
Samsung
sponsored.
Samsung, sponsor us.
Please sponsor. Please sponsor us, Samsung.
Please, like, we ain't even trying to lie just so that you can sponsor. No, we ain't lying.
We're speaking facts, Samsung.
We're speaking
facts. Like, they would listen to this. I mean.
I know, right?
That was our update for today, you guys. Mm-hmm. So, we are now going to start our favorite segment, Love Army, where we read letters written by you guys. If you want to submit your letter or voice recording, please email them to interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com. And remember, don't feel discouraged if we haven't read your letter yet, because we could always read it in our future episodes.
So, we have one letter today, and this is from Dawn Burney. And Dawn says, hi, first of all, I've loved both of your channels for years now. So this podcast is seriously just so perfect. Oh, thank you. Anyways, my story. I'm 23, living in Dallas, teaching music, and I've been in Army since 2017. I was introduced to BTS after a new roommate in college came back from Korea, and she was determined to turn me into a K-pop fan. After some reluctancy, she finally showed me Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and I just could not get it out of my head. I just had to know their names, and the rabbit hole ensued. Maybe a month or two later, they were on stage at the BBMAs accepting their first Social Artist Award. I was only a baby ARMY, but man, was I proud. For about a year, I kept my new interest to myself. I thought being a boy band fan at 21 was weird. LOL, what was I thinking? OMG. Around this time, my sisters and I were kind of drifting apart, living in different cities, arguing constantly, and just losing interest in our relationship. It was devastating, and with my wedding coming up, it really worried me. But then I eventually showed them BTS just out of curiosity. You know, maybe they'll dig it. And eventually they would text me about what videos to watch and things like, I think RM is my bias, but I don't know because Jin is so funny. So relatable, honestly.
My sisters and I shared this new interest. BTS really brought us closer, even if it was just a few texts every night. It all came to a really beautiful culmination when we attended the Speak Yourself tour in Chicago. I was standing next to my sisters when Best of Me started, and I just lost it completely. For some reason, this song and the lyrics just meant so much more in that moment. I was praying Taehyung couldn't see my ugly crying 10 rows from the stage. BTS didn't necessarily save my life, but they saved my relationship with my sisters. We've never been closer, truly. We've even brought Mom into the mix. Who will see BTS for the first time this year for her 60th birthday? Added note, my oldest sister had a terribly rough year in 2018, right when I force-fed her BTS. She fell deep for them, and the message, love yourself, inspired her to leave an unhealthy relationship, and it pushed her to pursue dream of teaching English abroad. She's now living in South Korea teaching English. What? Wow. I hope that wasn't too long, but this is my ARMY story. I purple y'all, Dawn.
Wow. Jinx, you owe me a soda, Roseanne. We said wow at the same time.
Even my brain was so slow. I'm like, what? Soda? Where?
No, but honestly, that's amazing. Thank you so much, because that means that, like, not only what, like you said, did it save your relationship with your sisters, but it also saved your sister from an unhealthy relationship. Like, that's deep, y'all.
And the fact that now she's, you know, teaching abroad. Hopefully she's doing good in South Korea. And I hope you guys are staying safe. This was sent before things got worse with COVID. We're all sad that it hasn't gone through with a tour. But let's all be hopeful, you guys. And I hope that your mom will be able to attend concert when the tour comes up again.
Yeah.
And that all of you guys get to attend together. Because it's beautiful. I'm so happy that you and your siblings and even your mom have gotten closer because of BTS.
BTS bringing families close.
Right?
Facts. We love to see it.
Are you listening to this episode on Himalaya? If you are, congratulations, because you're already using the best new podcast app out there. Not only does Himalaya have tons of cool features like curated podcast playlists and collections, along with personalized recommendations, but our brand new members-only version of this, Interlude Army Plus, is only available on the Himalaya app. When you become a member of Interlude Army Plus, you'll get all ad-free, exclusive episodes, giveaways, and more. You'll even get these episodes a day early. And the best part is, Interlude Army Plus is available for just $4.99 a month. So download Himalaya and join Interlude Army Plus today.
Welcome back to Interlude Army. Today we have two amazing guests joining us. We have the UCLA Bruin Marching Band director, Kevin McCown, and one of the tenor drummers from the UCLA band, Emma Atkins. Please welcome Kevin and Emma. Yay! If you could go ahead and introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, Kevin McCown. I'm the director of athletic bands at UCLA.
I'm Emma. I'm a recent graduate with a degree in psychology, and I was in band for all 4 years while I was at UCLA.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to join us, because we would love to learn more about you and how the project with BTS came together. Now, for those who are tuning in, the UCLA band participated in BTS's song called On, and we can't wait to hear your guys' thoughts and experience. So, first question is, how did you find your love for music and what inspired you to pursue it?
I guess for music in general, it really started with my grandma. She taught me piano from the age of the joke was that I would sing and do music before I could talk. And so she started teaching me piano when I was really young. I went to an arts focused elementary school. And so we actually we all had to take our, we all had to do recorder in fourth grade, and we all had to learn an instrument. I started on flute. There ended up being way too many flutes in my middle school band. And so my director was like, hey, do you want to play drums? And so best choice I ever made because basically all we do is just mess around in the back while the rest of music happens. And so I ended up doing that. And then I went in high school, I played tenor drums. And then when I came to UCLA, I actually played cymbals.
And I swear, Emma and I did not compare answers. So when she mentioned her grandmother, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly how I started. It was my grandmother who had never really learned any traditional way of playing piano, but it is an amazing woman at age 100.
Wow.
And she taught us how to, you know, play piano by rote. So all these great classical tunes, but, you know, mainly from your ear. And then from there, you know, I came to California from Northern Ireland in 1982. And one of the things that connected me to music was a school band program and having a clarinet. I never had something, you know, so having an instrument provided and then that feeling of assimilation, inclusion at an early age just really propelled me. And then middle school was one of those things where I was good at it, mm-hmm. and then led to high school. And then I went to community college and then went to UCLA and stayed there for a master's degree and doctoral work. And then went back to the same community that I grew up in to teach. So I've come back and taught the same schools I went to, and now I'm teaching at UCLA. So it's a phenomenal story, and it wouldn't have happened without, you know, that love for music.
Yeah, and it's so crazy that, Kevin, you just mentioned clarinet and in middle school, because I actually played the clarinet in band in my middle school. So many connections, but unfortunately I did stop playing it. I wish I still pursued it, but yeah, just a little connection there. Our second question ties in a little bit on why you pursued it and what inspired you to pursue it. What does music mean to you?
Well, that's a deep question. It means a lot to me. I think, like, music is the one thing that really unites everybody. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, music is the thing that we see in every culture around the world from, like, really early on. And so, like, for me personally, like, I've made most of my friends through, like, music and going to concerts and being involved in the live music scene, plus, you know, being in the UCLA marching band. The nice thing about music is you show up to band day one and you are already in a room full of people that are mm-hmm. like you and are want to be your friends. And so it's really just the community aspect you get with music that really is so drawing.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. There's nothing that can connect people so quickly. I think of Emma, who's been my student we had a year, but I feel like I've known Emma almost, you know, her whole life, because that connection through music and that trust that's built. And it takes time, obviously, but there's something about music that once you can put it into words, it loses its meaning, because part of it should have no way to describe. It's just a feeling you get that I think connects us all.
Very true. Before this project, though, have you heard of BTS before? Because I know, Emma, you mentioned during the on commentary film dialogue at like 2 minutes and 29 seconds that as soon as you found out that it was BTS, like, you freaked out and jumped around the room. So
yeah, I was super excited. I have a lot of, like I said, I made a lot of my friends through like the live music community. And so like for me, BTS was like what I would qualify as like a playlist band. So like a band that I would, especially like a workout playlist or something that's going to be upbeat and peppy, like they're the type of group I'll go to, so something that's just going to, like, you know, keep good energy. But a lot of my friends were like super involved in the fandom, and they're super involved on Twitter. And so like I knew a lot about the band through mm-hmm. them and just how incredible the fan base is because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I knew of BTS, but obviously being a little bit more distinguished, I knew how popular they were, mm-hmm. or at least I thought I knew how popular they were. I really thought they were, you know, I mean, I grew up in a time where the boy bands were really popular, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, the 90s and the early 2000s in school, but mm-hmm. You think you have an idea of how popular a group is, and then it just, you know, it went beyond. I knew it was popular when a kid's high school that I teach at actually came up and wanted to talk to me about the recording process. And at that point I realized, oh my God, this is on a completely different level than even I was prepared for.
That's amazing, because even, I didn't know you also taught in high school, but that's amazing that even then you have students that are very mm-hmm. interested in learning about the music process, you know, what goes behind the scenes. No pun intended. Now for our next question, how far in advance were you contacted to do this project? And was this your first non-English
project? I mean, it happened pretty quickly. So I think it was like November, just like anything you hear about something. One of our great faculty members at UCLA, Dwayne Benjamin, has worked with a lot of prominent musicians and recording artists. And he was the one that mentioned us that BTS wanted to have something that was really had that marching band component. I think Beyonce has really made it really popular to add marching bands and especially drum lines back into the scene. So, you know, obviously that's really exciting. We hope that's a trend that continues. Hashtag UCLA band. But for me, it was the first time I've ever done something at an international level. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was really exciting.
I mean, were you given like certain instructions to follow, or did they give you some sort of like freedom to create, or how did this process go?
They're pros. They know exactly what they want. And, you know, there's the guidelines, and Emma could probably jump in and talk about the actual recording process itself. Mm-hmm. So when we got the music, we rehearsed it by ourselves. Then we went through some rehearsals. The rehearsal process is the best part about anything. I mean, the product is great, but the rehearsal process itself is such a joy to go through, because that's where you really get a chance to collaborate a little bit, and you feel like you're part of the process, and questions were being asked. Opinions were given at that point. But they definitely, you know, the producers definitely had a thought and an idea on what they wanted.
Well, yeah, and I would say like when we were recording, so obviously I was playing tenor drums in the recording itself, but we actually brought a pair of cymbals with us because we didn't know like what necessarily sounds they wanted. And so like day of, they were like, hey, do you want to do a couple of cymbal crashes? And so, yeah, I think you can see it in the commentary video, but I had a couple crashes like going into the chorus and stuff. It ended up getting put in later, even though we didn't really rehearse that in rehearsal.
So I'm assuming that there was a lot of like edits, or like they just kept changing the music throughout the process or adding on to it. Because you said your cymbals weren't added on until like later on.
Yeah. So like when they recorded, we kind of started with one instrument, and then we built up from there. Because there were two separate days. There was the day that we had all the drums, and then we had the day that there was all the winds. So I was on the day with the drums. And I think, I forget which one we started with. I think it was bass drums. And then we just added drums on top of it. And then the guy did all his magic behind the scenes, and it came out amazing.
Interesting.
We actually had a previous guest on here saying that they kept changing the song that he participated in. He wasn't playing any instruments or anything, but he was a dancer for an art film of theirs. So did you guys have any experiences like that to where maybe the song kept changing, where you guys had to adapt to that? Or maybe you guys didn't even listen to the final project until it was out.
No, I think you're right, Jose. It's a little bit different from choreography, because then something's recorded sometimes. A lot of times when you're talking about choreography, you have a chance to visually see it right away. So when it comes to recording, as Emma was saying, you lay down different tracks. So we had different tracks being laid out. And honestly, we didn't know what it was going to sound like when it came out. Oh. And so you're just, and you have a in your mind, like, okay, you've got a melody. How's that going to work? And then when you see it all put through that process of a producer and editor and all that stuff, and then you hear the final product, and it's just, I mean, it's so professional. It's but it also feels like we were part of it. They could have very easily done all that with, you know, without live instruments. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it was awesome for us to feel like we bring that little bit of energy, that little bit of liveliness to the recording.
I mean, it came out amazing. this next question is geared more towards you, Kevin. How did you choose the particular band students to be involved?
Well, I've got a great staff, Ken and Paul, who are the assistant and associate directors. You know, they've known the students a lot longer than I have. So for me, this was only, I think, 3 months into the job. Mm-hmm. And so I really had to trust that they knew which students not only could play the parts, but also we wanted to recognize, find students we knew that this would really mean something to them personally, that they would have a love, an appreciation for BTS and the process. So, kudos to Ken and Paul, because I think they picked some phenomenal representatives, not just players, but ambassadors for our program that you saw in the documentary that I was super proud of. I'm in that documentary for 1.5 seconds, and that's all I need to be, because that's all, like, but again, that's the kind of the process we went through.
Amazing. You mentioned that you watched the dialogue. What did you think about that, actually? Because I know both of you guys, I got to find where you're at, though, in that, because I did find Emma, but that point, few seconds, I got to find that.
I'll point it out, because I may have, you know, taken a screenshot of it, put on my Facebook group, because it has the producer, P-Dog, and it's got Dwayne, and it has my name through. I'm like, there we go. I'm somebody. Look at that. So I'll show you what that is.
For sure, for sure. I mean, I thought that dialogue film was well done. I love how they highlighted the people who participated, especially mm-hmm. the UCLA band. I really hope that they end up making more films like that as well in the future, just to showcase that there's so much talent out there, and especially your guys' band that participated. You mentioned, Emma, that it took 2 days to record, but like, how long did it take to prepare? I mean, like, you guys were given the music sheets, and then, or did you guys just play things on the spot for those 2 days, or how did that all work out?
Yeah, so it was actually a really quick turnaround. Like Kevin was mentioning about like when this all happened, like I think Paul approached me at rehearsal one time. I was like, hey, are you free these days to do a super secret project that we cannot talk about? And then I said yes, and then a couple days later I got the email, and then we rehearsed I think for like 5 hours or something on a Sunday or Saturday. And mm-hmm. then the following weekend was when we recorded, but it was actually, it was a very long 2 days for me, because we had a football game the day before, and so we'd been out until like 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And then we had to get up and be in, we had to be at the studio by like 8 a.m., and then we recorded all day until like 1 o'clock or so, and then we left and went home, I napped for 15 minutes and went straight to a basketball game. So, and then the Winds recorded the next day. So, it ended up being like, it was, you know, a couple hour processes throughout, but we got the music like before the rehearsal, and then, kind of could look it over before we recorded.
Nice. Now, when you were in the recording studio, was that like intimidating or anything like that? Like, did you feel any type of pressure because this is going to be like an international, global recording?
it was definitely nerve-wracking, especially because I really hadn't played tenor drums in like 4 years. Uh-huh. And so it had been a minute. Thankfully we had, you know, rehearsal mm-hmm. to do it, but I wasn't the only one on the tenor drums. Our friend Justin was also on there with me, and so thankfully, since I wasn't alone, mm-hmm. it was nice to have a little bit of like companionship in the room. But it was a really cool experience and something I'd never done before, because I had never had the opportunity.
And the producers were really kind, you know, and just like anything, you don't know what it's going to be. You don't know how intense it's going to be, but they were long. Mm-hmm. It was a long process, but it was at no point did I think our students felt like it was too stressful of an environment. It was actually very positive. And again, I just, me not knowing the group or the level as well as maybe Emma, mm-hmm. maybe helped ease my stress of going into that. And, you know, I'm sitting in a room watching and listening, and I'm next to one of the most successful producers from Big Hit Media. And I just know him as this guy who's next to me. I didn't know who he was. So maybe that was a good thing.
Did you find out who you were sitting by later on? Or do you know which producer you were sitting by?
Oh, that was P-Dog. I was next to P-Dog.
Oh,
okay.
I'm throwing names around. Yeah.
Dropping names.
I mean, Kevin, how was that experience, though, working with them? I'm sure there was, like translators that were there, or did P-Dog speak to you personally on how to work things?
No, there were some translators there, and again, I think at that point, after we'd done the rehearsals, and Dwayne Benjamin did a great job with arrangements and really preparing our students in the rehearsal process, so that we went in, we just knew exactly what we needed to do. And there was just an understanding of what we were doing. And just like anything, the music, that whole, it's kind of cheesy, but music is a universal language. We were able to kind of talk through hearing stuff and like bringing out a line, asking, you know, I remember mentioning maybe bringing down a line when it descended, But I could sing it through like all solfeggio, and he understood exactly what that meant. So it was, it was a great opportunity.
Sounds like it was very collaborative, which is pretty cool. I mean, amazing. Now, going back a little bit to the dialogue or documentary, did you guys know that they were going to do this? They were going to release a documentary type of film? Or did you think, oh, they're just going to interview us and release it in some type of other way? Or were you guys told it was going to be for that?
I mean, we knew that there, because we got interviewed, and they mm-hmm. were, you know, longer interviews than what you saw in the film as it goes. But we knew there was going to be something, and like we had been told, like, hey, make sure you know kind of like what you might want to say if you were interviewed, but we had no idea what that was going to turn into, whether that was going to be like, you know, a 5-minute little clip, or that whether that was going to be an hour long thing. Like, we didn't know what it was going to be. We just knew that they were filming.
And what's cool about it, it's led to that documentary must have been seen by the local major Korean television station. And Emma and I and a couple other staff and band members were asked to be on a Korean TV documentary about relations from Korea and the U.S. post-Korean War, and finding, you know, similarities in culture and how we collaborate. So, you know, we didn't realize that you're making something that you don't know what it is, how big it's going to be, mm-hmm. and also how it connects on so many different levels.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm so happy they did it. I know Roseanne mentioned this, but in a previous podcast, we talked about it, and we just thought it was so cool how they put the focus mm-hmm. on you guys. In this documentary, yeah, we see like short clips of them, but when they were like in their debut days, just showing how they also recorded in that same studio, but none of it was like recent or present, because they wanted to focus on you guys and the choir as well, that also was presented to us in that documentary film. So I just thought it was amazing. I'm so glad you guys were, you know, presented to us in that way. Now, did you guys get to listen to the final version of On before the release, or maybe once it was released? And what did you think about the song once it was out?
Well, so for me, like when it on release day, I remember I was like really keeping up with like when things were going to be released at what time. Mm-hmm. And because in the recording studio, we heard kind of the backing track, and I could hear vaguely what the vocals were, but we had no idea what they actually, like, they were super far, they were mostly muted. Yeah. So we really couldn't hear much when we were recording. But I remember on like the day that it was released, they had released the 30-second clip of the audio on TikTok. And I remember I was like, oh, I'm gonna log on and check it out. And then of course the app crashed, because that's just how powerful like the army is, that it was just like, oh, can't log on to the app anymore. But when I eventually did get to listen to it was really cool to hear those 30 seconds and be like, oh, I was in that little part. And then when the full thing finally released and getting to hear it for the first time was amazing.
I didn't hear, you know, the finished product until after, uh-huh. way after, and even after Emma had mentioned. And then I saw the video and listened to it, and then just saw the responses. And as you mentioned, not just the responses to the video, but the responses on our own band mm-hmm. Instagram, and what it meant to so many kids from all over the world, and how much they thought, how cool they thought it was that included the UCLA band. And so for us, you know, it just became international, and it was a way to show our university and our band that we're so proud of. And we, you know, obviously it means we have a new group of followers and people that love us because of our connection through BTS. So we're very proud of that.
Yeah, and I thought awesome. It was really cool. I kept looking up like UCLA marching band on Twitter and just kind of followed like what people were saying for the couple days mm-hmm. after. And it was just so great to see all the people that was like, man, like I wish I stuck with band, or I'm so glad I stuck with band, because I'll have great experiences like this, or like the marching band nerd in me is so happy. And so it was really cool to see like the positive response from other people that are in mm-hmm. band. Mm-hmm. and getting to see how cool that was as well.
And I really hope that it inspires children who are going into UCLA to join band. You know, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jose, but not a lot of Korean artists kind of incorporate a marching band into their music. And it's just the sound of a marching band in a song just sounds amazing, and just a lot more lively and powerful. And so just like you mentioned to Kevin, how like Beyonce incorporated a marching band in her concert, I believe Coachella too. Yeah, it was amazing to see. So I really do hope to see more of that in the future for music. Well, that would be amazing to see BTS perform with you guys like in LA. No, that'd be cool.
We just got to get the army behind it, you know? We just got to get everybody to want to have that together, and we'll wait. We'll wait a year, whatever it takes, you know? But we would love to have that opportunity.
That would be amazing to see. So
yes.
For those who are listening, though, and they want to keep up with you guys, what's the best place to check up on news or catch up on social media for you guys?
I would say definitely Instagram would be our most like frequently used. Instagram, Facebook. We also have a Twitter account as well. But we're pretty active on Instagram stories. We do Q&As, especially for people who are interested in joining the band. That's a great way to reach out to us and we can answer questions. It's UCLA band on Instagram and most other platforms. Awesome.
Did you have any plans to possibly be involved in one of their stages if they had a concert at the Rose Bowl?
I don't think we were part of it, mainly because, as you mentioned, the choreography piece, I think, Jose, we were talking about that earlier, was, you know, I think like anything, it takes so long to figure out a show and how, I mean, the choreography is such a huge part of their performance. Right. And so I think they, there was some talk about, you know, us maybe going to Korea, this is way back, and doing something for a couple months there. But that didn't quite work out with schedules. And now as you see in the video, that's not us in the video. Mm-hmm. Those are dancers. And so, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, if that ever happened, that there'd be a way to connect that with UCLA. We can figure it out. We just need time.
Yeah. I'm sure. No, well, we really do appreciate you guys taking the time to be here with us. I mean, it was really cool to hear your guys' experience inside and also your thoughts on all this. Hopefully, like I said, this won't be the last time and more people will reach out to you guys as well, other than BTS, to participate in their future songs. Because, like I said, I want to hear more marching band and music. So,
can we give a special shout out to Emma, who graduated recently during all these crazy conditions that we're in? I'm just so proud of her and all the band students who persevered and got through the finish line, graduated, and now are part of us. They're an alumnus of a fine university. So congratulations, Emma.
Congratulations.
Yay, congratulations, Emma.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So what did you think about this episode, Roseanne, and the interview, everything?
Well, the episode itself, of course, it's always so fun to just sit here and chat with Jose on updates that we love. So, you know, thankful that you guys are listening to this podcast, because you guys are the reason why we could continue to do this.
Yeah.
But even the interview was really fun. I just love hearing people's experiences, just experience, period. But even working with BTS and this whole project with ON. So how did you feel about this episode, Jose?
Same. I always look forward to chatting with you about anything BTS and recapping, even learning of maybe stuff that I may have missed. And excited for our listeners as well. And like you said, thank you to our listeners, because honestly, that's why we keep doing this and we're able to keep going. But as far as the interview, wow. So amazing to see, like, we already knew a little bit because of the documentary, you know, how it was, but it was just a little bit, like, we didn't know the full capacity, and just learning more about it, it's so interesting and exciting, and it's almost like we're living vicariously, like, oh my god, like, it's almost like we're there too, because, you know, they're fans as well of BTS, and I'm just so happy for them, and it's so exciting to know that, like, this is something that they cannot, like, nobody can take that away from them. You know, like Emma or anything, like in her resume or something, she'd be like, you know what? I recorded for BTS. It's an actual recording. I got footage of it. And it's just like, yes, girl. Right. Yes.
And when Kevin mentioned that he was sitting by P-Dog.
I know.
We live vicariously through them, through their stories. So.
So to stay updated, follow us on Twitter at Interlude Army PD. That's Interlude Army PD. If you want to send any feedback or your Love Army letters, please email us at interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com. That's interlude.army.podcast@gmail.com.
So that was our episode for this week. Make sure to stay tuned for next week's episode. And thank you once again for tuning in. And have amazing, have a amazing week. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful outro thing. I love how you added on to that. Love you guys. Bye, bye, Jose.
Oh my god! Sorry, guys. We're just like, it's been a day. It's been a day.
What? It hasn't even been a day yet. I'm leaving all of this in just for your information.
Okay. Bye, y'all. Bye, bye guys. Jose.
Bye, Jose. Bye. Kim Nam Jun, Kim So Jin, Min Yoon Lee, Young Ho Suk, Park Jin.